Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it is awesome to have the gift of prayer. And Lord, we will look again at a prayer in the Bible today, a prayer that is necessary because of prayerlessness, it would seem, a prayer that we all can relate to when we commit the sins of pride and the sin of pride. And so, Lord, may we learn from you today. And this one hymn, The Love of God, it talks about reconciling through his Son. And so, Lord, you have reconciled us, sinners to be sure, through the gift of grace. And we want to just sing about your love this morning before we get into prayer. So prepare our hearts for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn to the last chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. What do you think David's greatest sin was?
Pride.
Amen. Well, you're already read ahead anyway, but we'll go ahead and we'll do this anyway. For you that already know the answers, we'll just have a repeat course this morning. But many people would say, well, it was murder, it was adultery, and of course, all sin is sin. But his worst sin was this taking the census near the end of his career. And he's changed somewhat. In the early days, he was seeking the Lord, and he was doing the Lord's will, and he was such an example to the people as a man who sought after God's own heart and a man who was doing the Lord's will. But here now, he is so far against the will of God that even Joab, his bloody-handed general, is really against him, saying, "Don't do this, David, don't do this." And he stubbornly persisted. Do you ever stubbornly persist in rebelling against God? As I was looking at this prayer, I was sure that this morning we've got a prayer that applies to all of us because nobody's free from pride. And that's the big sin here, is his pride. God had blessed Israel in a lot of battles. And we see the beginning of this in the book of 2 Samuel here. I don't really like the fact that the translators capitalized the word he in verse 1. It says, "Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" I don't think that's true. As we read the Chronicles account, there's exactly the same prayer given to us in the Chronicles, and it says, "Satan moved David." I don't think God moved him. I think that should be a small H, not a big H. But at any rate, God was not real happy with Israel because they were so pridefully looking at their armies as a result of their victories and not looking to him. And here David makes kind of the total decision, in other words, to take a census. How many soldiers do I have? How often are you tempted to take a census? How often are you, particularly as you get older, not many of you are old enough to do this yet, but a few of us are. Do you ever take a census of your holdings, of your accounts in the bank, of your accounts and your investments, and of your equity in your home and your equities and whatever you got, and total them all up in your mind and see if that's going to be enough? Or do you say, "Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm not even going to run a total on any of these things"? Well, I have to tell you that from time to time, I can go very quickly and give you the totals in my account, sort of our account. Not really real accurate, but I mean, you know, rough round numbers. But how typical that is, good morning, Jose. How typical that is that rather than trusting in the Lord, we want to rely on ourselves. And so here, David wants to take a census. Now, there's not anything wrong with taking a census if the Lord directs you to. The Lord directed Moses to take two censuses, one when they left the children, when the children of Israel left Egypt, and the other when they got near the promised land. And so those were in accordance with God's will. But God didn't direct this. It says God was against this. God is against Israel. And this census, we read here, it took 9 months and 24 days, I think it was. This is not like the sin with Bathsheba. Bathsheba's sin was a sin of, in a spur of a moment, the lust overcame and he fell. But this is a kind of a more of a premeditated dwelling in the sin for at least 9 months. This thing went on, and Joab kept objecting. And there is a difference in the numbers between the census in 1 Chronicles and in 2 Samuel. And some account for this difference that Joab didn't turn in good numbers because he was so against it. We know in this account here that he didn't turn in the numbers of two tribes, the Levites and Benjamites. He didn't even number those. So he was so against that. But now there are consequences to pay for this sin. God chastises us when we sin. And he pulls David aside, so to speak, and he says, because of your sin, you had three choices. One of the choices will be famine. One of the choices will be, and that's like years of famine. Another choice will be being overrun by your enemies for a period of time. And the third choice is, I will send a pestilence on Israel. What would you have chosen? Those are tough choices, aren't they? We do see David's trust in the Lord and his awareness of God's mercy. So he's going to choose the alternative here, which is going to be closest to God's mercy. And so he chooses the pestilence. But in this first period of time here, a short period of time, there were 70,000 Israelites killed. How would you like to be responsible, partially at any rate, for 70,000 of your countrymen to be killed? So we see here in this prayer, David going through these things, says, then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people. We read in Chronicles, he and the elders of Israel, being clothed in sackcloth and fallen on their faces, he prayed, not unto the angel, but to Jehovah. And he cries out. He says, surely I have sinned and done wickedly. What a great confession, really, here, in a sense. He's not covering up. He's not saying, Lord, you don't understand the circumstances. I was worried about some more enemies coming in, and I just had to know whether we were really prepared for battle or not. No, he says, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Now, I think there is some reason that the sheep are getting... The Lord was mad at Israel, too, but he is rightfully, as a king, caring for his people, and he says, my subjects, basically, my sheep, what have they done? So then he says, let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who needs to pay. And so that was his prayer in verse 17. And then we go ahead and read, and there ended up being a sacrifice. There ended up being an altar on the threshing floor. And one of the seers, the prophet Gad, came that day to David and said, go up, erect an altar to the Lord. Now, these deaths are going on, by the way, right? So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now, Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants. Now, this is the fabled threshing floor of Araunah up on top Mount Moriah, where later Solomon will build the temple. Go up and erect the altar to the Lord, to the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So he went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah says, my lord, the king, come to his servant. And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. David doesn't want something for nothing. He's going to pay for this threshing floor. But we read in the Chronicles account that he bought the land too. The land was 500 shekels of gold. That was a big deal. That's a lot of money. This particular threshing floor here is 50 shekels of silver. So 500 shekels of gold is infinitely, well, not infinitely, but much more than 50 shekels of silver. But Araunah says, King, take and offer whatever seems good to you. Here are the oxen for burnt sacrifices, and we'll just burn the threshing implements and yokes of the oxen for wood. All of these, King, Araunah has given to the king, and Araunah said to the king, May the Lord your God accept you. But David said to Araunah, No, I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing. How about our gifts to the Lord? How about your gifts to the Lord? Are they ones that cost you nothing? Do you ever consider that? David didn't want to give something that cost him nothing. So he bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And he built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Notice the importance of prayer here. Very, very important. But one thing I think we can pretty much conclude, anytime you get into pride, you're going to be in a state of prayerlessness. You can't be prideful when you bow down before the Lord. It's impossible. How can you be prideful? Because that humbles you, doesn't it? And if you have trouble with pride, maybe pray on your knees or pray on your face, whatever, because all of those physical things tend to make us more aware of how great he is and how nothing we are. But we see here a great example of a great king who, at the end of his life, made the mistake of depending on himself, and he's going to handle it himself. Of course, we see that over and over, don't we? Ai and Jericho, the whole nation of Israel, when they'd come into the promised land years earlier, they knew how to do it now that God had given them Jericho. So, well, we'll go take Ai. We don't need the whole army. 3,500 will do it. And they got beaten until they followed the lead of the Lord. So may we listen to the Lord. May we strive more than anything else just to do his will and to make no decisions without prayer. And that's a continuation, too. There are times when we have to make a decision today because we cannot wait till tomorrow. There are times maybe when you're entering an intersection, you can't wait till this afternoon to pray. You better pray right then. But generally speaking, most of our prayers for direction go on and on, don't they? Day after day, after day after day, and you know the general will of God, you know the direction that he wants you to go, but the timing is an issue that is not always clear, and so we need to seek him. And the glorious aspect of prayer is that he always is there and he always answers, right? So he's here this morning, he hears us as we pray, so let us go to prayer as led by the Holy Spirit now. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, we thank you for your mercy, as we see here, you heeded the prayers, you acknowledged the sacrifice, you stopped the plague. And so, Lord, I pray we would not cause pain, we would not cause others to suffer as these sheep here did that were killed. And, Lord, the pride issues, Lord, help us, help me with the pride issues that are always seem to be there, Lord. And Lord, guide us now this morning in prayer as we lift up those things which you would put on our hearts to intercede for the church here and around the world, to intercede for those believers, intercede for the persecuted church, and where the church is so strong and vibrant and where so much harvest is going on. And help us to pray for the church where there's no persecution, such as this country, and it's not very active and not very powerful, Lord. Just lead us now in this time of prayer as your Spirit would direct each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.